Hi, everyone. Welcome to the MRP Tech Podcast. This is episode 75. My name is Matt, and this is the weekly podcast discussing everyday tech for everyday people. And in today's episode, I'd like to start off by spreading the word about another brand new book by Larry Bushy. Now, a few weeks ago, maybe even last month, early last month, I did a contest for this show, and Larry Bushy from the Going Linux podcast was nice enough to provide a couple of ebooks to give away as a part of that contest. I gave away a paperback version of that book, and he also sent me a few copies, digital copies, that I could give away as well. Well, this past week, just a few days ago, I got another email from Larry, and he's told me that he has written a more in-depth user guide for the Ubuntu Mate 17.10 Linux distribution, and he'd like to offer listeners of this show a copy of this book in whatever format they'd like, PDF, MOBI, or EPUB format. And basically the title is Using Ubuntu Mate and Its Applications. It's available on Amazon to purchase either in a paperback book or an ebook. Now the book itself is much bigger than the first book he put out, and also has color screenshots as well. You can purchase the paperback book on Amazon for $24.99 or the ebook version for $14.99 itself. There is a long description on the Amazon site, but basically this book is written for computer users who want a reference detailed enough to help them learn about Ubuntu Mate. It's written from the perspective that Ubuntu Mate is a typical modern Linux distribution for the average computer user who needs to use things like browse the internet or check their email or use a text editor or word processor. There's lots of different examples in this on software to use, and it's also written in Creative Commons license so that it's easy to share with everyone. Now, the first thing I'm going to tell you is that Larry has offered anybody who wants a copy of this book to send me an email. Just go over to mrptechreviews.com, hit the contact link, and send me a message, and I'll get you that copy. But what I'm going to tell you is something a little different. What I'm going to tell you to do is Larry is a super nice guy. He works extremely hard with his podcast. He's written two books now that I'm aware of for Ubuntu Mate, and he deserves all the credit that he should get. And what I'm going to say is, if you are interested in this book and you can afford it, to go to Amazon, buy the ebook or buy the paperback, and support Larry for what he's done. This is pretty incredible. The books that he's put out are high quality. I read the first book. I haven't had a chance to read this book yet. I will bring it up next time when I have a good shot at reading through everything. This was a couple days ago. I've been really busy the last few days. But buy the book for him and support him for what he does, because this is awesome. Two books within a couple of months, and he deserves all the credit. So go buy his books. Many of you know Larry out there. Support him in any way you can. And if you can't afford it, if you are in a bind or in a pinch, or if you're just curious about the book, send me an email. I'll get you a free copy of the book. I'd be glad to help you out. But maybe when the time is right, if you can in the future, purchase the book and support him. That's all I'm going to say. If you want more books like this, support the authors. That's what keeps them going, keeps them writing. And it is Creative Commons, so tell everybody about it. Share this book in as many ways as you possibly can. And get the word out about both of Larry's books. And I just thank Larry for once again helping listeners of this show, and I'm sure other shows, out by offering these copies. So that's where I'm going to leave it. And once I read the book, I'll let you all know what I think of it. I'm sure it's great, and I'm actually looking forward to reading it. So I've got a couple of things to talk about in this show. This show this week is there's a couple of different things that I want to talk about. vastly different topics that are not related to each other at all in any way. And I'm hoping listeners out there might be able to steer me in the right direction on a couple of different things. And maybe I've got my thoughts crossed on a couple of things. So first of all, my phone is due for an upgrade. And for the last several years, I've been an iPhone user. And I've sort of been, you know, on and off again, Mac hater, Mac lover. I like to talk about Apple products. And this morning, the iPhone X was finally released. It's been available for pre-order for a few weeks now. And I know it's quite difficult to get your hands on one of these right now. But basically, the three new phones were announced on the Apple special event on September 12th. They introduced the iPhone 8, the 8 Plus, and the iPhone 10. And I know a lot of people out there are probably wondering which new model will kind of fit them best. And so I've been browsing around, you know, Macworld and The Verge and a few other places, CNET. And if you want a bigger screen, you got to go with the choice of the iPhone 8 Plus or the iPhone 10. If you want the smaller screen, you just have to go with the iPhone 8 at this point in time. And at first, I was looking for what features does the iPhone 10 have over the iPhone 8. And looking at a Macworld article, they all basically come in the same colors. So that's not a big deal. Screen size is a big deal. iPhone 8 is 4.7. Some people like the smaller screen. iPhone 8 Plus is 5.5. And the iPhone 10 is 5.8 inch screen. Although that's not really true because with the FaceTime camera, where it is, your screen is actually more close to the 5.5 inch screen that you get in the iPhone 8 Plus. They all come with the same processors. The difference being iPhone 10 does not have the physical home button anymore. The rear cameras nearly are identical in the iPhone 8 Plus and iPhone 10. The front-facing cameras are nearly identical as well. As well as video recording at 4K at different frame rates, it all looks basically the same. iPhone 10 has the new Face ID. iPhone 8 has the Touch ID that we're all used to. All has wireless charging. Everything is waterproof. So basically, you know, if I'm looking at a new iPhone, there are some new features in the iPhone 10, but the iPhone 8 also looks like there's not much of a difference between the two of them. And yeah, so I'm not really sure which way to go as far as the iPhone 8 or the iPhone 10. The features pretty much look the same all the way around, and I just really don't know which way to go. If you have tried either phone, which one do you like better? You can send me some feedback and just let me know which one you think is a better phone for the price. I'm sort of leaning more towards the iPhone 8 myself. It's really hard to say. I'm really not interested in some of the newer features on the iPhone 10, to be honest. And actually, thinking about it now, it kind of makes me want to take a look at Android again and see what it has to offer. It's been quite a few years now since I was using Android. And I'm really curious on that. So this thought just popped into my head now that I'm talking a little bit about these phones. Maybe I'll take a look at some Android phones again. See how much Android has changed over the last few years. I still have some concerns over some security issues with Android. But I'm sure things have changed quite a bit since I've used Android. It's been about almost 5 years now, I'd say, since I had an Android phone. So if you have an Android phone out there you think I might be interested in, comparable to, say, iPhone, maybe the Samsungs, maybe I'll take a look at Samsung again, let me know. I'd be curious. I'm always open to suggestions here. And either way, I'll let you know as soon as if I do upgrade. I may not even upgrade yet. My upgrade's not due for another couple of weeks, but I'll keep my eyes open on a few things. All right, the next thing that I want to get to and want to talk about is last week's episode was sort of geared towards building a student help desk at school districts and trying to get students involved with technology topics and skills and having a technology club that students can come and talk about tech stuff with. And I was sort of blown away on how quickly it took off. And well, this past week, the help desk that I was building at my district, we sort of rolled out. Students are now manning the desk pretty much half of the day, and have a few more students that are coming on board. So I hope to have even more of the day covered. Really looking forward to seeing how it builds over the next few months. And with that, I've seen a few things this week online that I wanted to talk about as far as students are concerned, not only in school, but outside of school, and things we need to be working on with them. And I'm sort of going to segue to something different in a few minutes. But one thing that I wanted to talk about is basically digital citizenship for students. And if you're not sure what that is, digital citizenship basically is teaching kids how to be appropriate, what's appropriate online, what's responsible behavior online, and in regards to anything technical. And basically, we're starting with digital access. And you know, not everybody has the same opportunity when it comes to using technology. And as we get more and more technical, being excluded from using technology makes it difficult to grow as a person in this particular society. And as students grow and they get more technical, these students have to keep in mind that some students have access to technology, some students do not. And as they move up throughout grade levels, there are some responsibilities that they have as far as becoming productive citizens in a technological world. Some of these things that they need to be aware of is things like digital commerce. Much of the market now, the economy, is all done electronically. Legal exchanges are happening online, buying and selling happening more and more and more, selling of used items. And where is it safe to sell those items? Don't meet someone in a back alley and buy used equipment from them. A lot of police stations are now offering an internet safe zone where you can trade safely in front of a police station. And what's okay, what's not okay to browse, and the laws of certain countries. Also, they have to worry about digital communication, how everything that they say and do online is being tracked, stored, shared, and filtered and searched with every keystroke, basically, that they do online. Nothing online is private for them. Digital literacy. A lot of schools are making progress in this area with technology, but a lot of schools, you know, focusing on certain technologies, we have to learn which technologies we want to teach, and we have to, there's no way to cover absolutely everything in just a few short years. Things like video conferencing, online sharing spaces like groups or wikis or that type of thing. Teaching things like search engines and where to get reliable sources as to things that they're looking up for, school, work, homework assignments, especially when it comes to things like copyright. And, you know, you can't just take a picture off of Google and use it for your own use. And these are all things that most students are unaware of until they're told, and it sort of blows their mind. And I sort of use this as in a classroom discussion about copyright and music, just educating my students on what the copyright laws are, whether you like them or you don't like them. There are certain things that most people are just oblivious to, and they need to be educated on it. Along with that goes digital etiquette, you know, how to treat people online, even though you're not in a classroom or you're not face-to-face with a person. There are things online that are considered appropriate conduct. And this was stuff that wasn't talked about for a long time and may have led to, you know, online trolls and all those wonderful comments that you read for videos. And, you know, some people just have no filter and feel like they can say whatever they want online. But there is a digital etiquette, and it's not just enough of creating rules and policy, but everybody's got to be taught how to become responsible citizens in this new society that we're building. There are also digital laws that students need to worry about. Basically, you know, they're responsible for their actions. And we talked a little bit about that with copyright. You know, it's so easy to download music for free from unethical sources or, you know, illegal sources, I should say. The ethics behind it is a matter of opinions and for most people, but the laws are unfortunately the laws. Things like hacking into others' information, plagiarizing, you know, creating viruses and worms and that type of thing. There are all laws that go along with that. And students, I feel, really need to learn these things in school. So along with the laws, there are digital rights and responsibilities, and as well as health and wellness, you know, how to avoid eye strain, repetitive stress syndromes and things like this. All of these topics are very important topics that students, as they grow and become digital citizens, should be made aware of. And, you know, I believe that every school district should take the initiative on teaching all of these things, as well as digital security, using strong passwords, not doing things like stealing and defacing other people's property and that type of thing when it comes to the digital community. It's really easy to, if you give students access to something, that they're probably going to do something wrong with it, and there need to be repercussions with it as well. Teaching things like backing up your data in multiple sources, that type of thing. We've got to teach our young students how to protect themselves online. So that's a big thing when it comes to digital citizenship, is respecting and educating and protecting students. And it starts not only in high school, but it should start in elementary as well. Really young, teaching etiquette and access and some of the laws. As they get older, you know, educating themselves with being more literate and communicating and some of the online commerce things as well. As well as learning how, at the same time, to protect yourself. So there are actually whole curriculums set up for digital citizenship. And one of the things to check out is digitalcitizenship.net. And they've got a lot of great information there. As well as there's a great link, www.commonsense.org/education/digital-citizenship. I'll put these in the show notes. A lot of really great information on how to build a curriculum for this particular thing. If you're a teacher out there who's interested in technology, this is something that you can incorporate in any classroom, and certainly encourage anybody who's got a technology club to talk about this stuff, because I think it's a really important topic. Speaking of important topics, around this past week, I've seen an article floating around. I'm not going to spend too much time on it, but I did see it on Google Plus. I saw it on Facebook. I did an episode a while back about Hanson Robotics and the amazing leaps that they're taking with trying to create an artificially intelligent robot. They've got several out there now. One sort of looks like Albert Einstein. Another looks like, it's been a while since now, but I know out there, there's a robot who is named Sophia. Well, recently there's been a news article flying around that Sophia the robot has sort of been on a roll. David Hanson has been on the Tonight Show basically saying that the robot is alive and fully conscious, and he's here to help humanity create the future. And recently, Sophia was granted an honorary citizenship by Saudi Arabia. And basically, Sophia the robot becomes the first humanoid Saudi citizen. And I watched the video. And the video that was put out is depressing. There, Saudi Arabia is known for doing stunts like this to make them look futuristic and try to build their technology for the future. And everybody that looks at this type of situation, it's obviously a PR stunt. And you really got to read more into this. I mean, in Saudi Arabia, there are humans that don't have rights, and women were just given the right to drive recently, and there are so many human rights violations that happen in this area. And to give a robot citizenship just does not seem at all the appropriate thing to do at this point in time. And with that, Sophia isn't even... And seeing something like this is really upsetting to me, because I'm just, with so much going on in the world, this wasn't really something that I wanted to see, a robot getting citizenship that's not even artificially intelligent. I could see if there was the world's first fully artificial intelligent robot, then maybe we have some talking that we need to do and discussing what rights they should have. This is just a PR stunt, and I'm going to leave it at that. And I believe that a lot of the researchers in AI are pretty much saying the same thing at this point in time. What do you think about the Sophia the robot becoming a digital, not a digital citizen, an actual citizen? Let me know. I'd be curious on all of your thoughts. Send me some feedback. Go to mrptechreviews.com, hit the contact form. That's going to do it for this week. Make sure to check out all the other great shows on Podnuts. I've been listening to a lot of those shows recently. You know, things like Android App Addicts, Geeksters, the Mini PC Show. All great shows. Linux for the Rest of Us, Podnuts, everything. Check those shows out. Give Podnuts some support for taking care of everything for us, doing all the hosting. Click the donation button on their website, podnuts.com, and just show Podnuts some love, because they are all awesome hosts, and I'm happy and really enjoy being a part of that network. That's going to do it for this week. Thanks so much for listening. We'll see you next time.